This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Hey, well, welcome back to another Wednesday evening live stream with the Shower Door Professionals. As you already know, we do this every Wednesday evening at 5:30 Pacific. And if you're watching over there in the Facebook group, that's okay. You can do that. But if you'd rather come over here and be on the call with us, you can do that too. Just click on the link that I put in the description. It'll bring you over into the call. And you can join us, listen here live, maybe even ask questions. Who knows? The fun is just getting started, and you're welcome to join us. Well, today I'm really happy to be able to introduce to you a friend of mine, Eugene Track of Webstream Design. Eugene is really an expert in everything web, SEO, marketing, tons of stuff. I'll let him tell you all about it, but I met him probably 10 years ago now, and he is the guy who was responsible for building my website, and it was just phenomenal, the kind of results I got from it, from the SEO work he did and stuff, and it just lasted for years. I don't know how he did it. He's kind of like a ninja or something. But anyway, Eugene Track of Webstream Design Group specializes in digital marketing strategy development, email and social media marketing, organic SEO consulting, and PPC management for all types of industries and associations, making sure their businesses and marketing objectives are being consistently met by optimizing campaigns performance, minimizing ad spend, and meeting the KPI targets. And we all know how important that is. So I'm going to go ahead and just turn it on over to Eugene. And I want you to just feel free to share your screen if you want to. Go ahead and just talk about whatever you want for, 20, 30 minutes. And then we'll just leave the last half of the call for questions and answers. That's okay with you.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Again, my name is Eugene Track. As Chris said, well, we met in 2010. I joined the networking group in downtown Santa Cruz, and Chris was there representing Glass Industry. And I joined as a web developer and marketer. And so since 2010, I think we regularly see each other almost every Thursday at this networking event, unless he's traveling, I'm traveling, he oversleep, I oversleep, things like that. But we know each other for a long time, and Chris, as some of you might know, is an amazing guy. It's very difficult. I mean, it's not easy to come by somebody who is completely positive and really has a great attitude towards clients, towards his business, towards life. And I'm really happy to, hang out with him and know him for so many years. As he said, we built his website in 2010 or 11 maybe, and then I've optimized it organically for search engine optimization. And I think, he owned the first page of Google for multiple keyword phrases in multiple strategic locations around the Bay Area. And I think the results are still there. And unfortunately, the organic SEO does not work as good these days as it used to 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I'd optimize your website, and under 3 months, you would start seeing your website on the first page of Google for multiple major services that you offer or products that you offer in multiple locations. Now everybody woke up to the idea that SEO is important, so everybody optimizing. So the competition is much more fierce, and it's more difficult to organically rank well. It's possible if you do other things, but it also takes longer. today organically, if you do everything right, you might get there in 9 months, a year. So that's why the organic SEO on its own, while it works, nobody has so much time. Yeah, so basically have combination of different things that can be deployed in order for, you know, leads to, you know, roll in and the jobs get signed and things like this. And so the topic of today's short talk is, you know, 5 steps of successful marketing. Well, let's just dive right in there and start with the basis, and the basis is your website. Everybody has a website. And so these days, the website needs to be designed properly. And by designed properly, I mean, it needs to be responsive. So it renders consistently and similarly across the platforms and the browsers and devices. But you know, the responsiveness of the website is it's been around for a few years, so everybody knows that the website needs to render properly, and people on mobile devices need to be able to log it, you know, load the website, and they don't have to really like open it to read the content. And so there is like a special technology how you just design website for mobile, and you don't have to have two websites now, mobile or a desktop, or like a, but it's just the one technology which allows the same website with all the horizontal elements show up one next to each other. But then when the screen gets narrow, they all stack one under another without becoming less in size, so it's easy to read. So this is like speed of loading. I mean, if your website is not loading quick enough, then you know, people will go away and Google will notice, and then you will not get the whole bang for your buck. So, I mean, it really needs to be done properly. And also the guidelines for proper web development really is written by Google. And so Google is not just the like a main player on the SEO field. It also dictates how the website needs to be designed in order for Google to give them some Google juice. So basically, mobile friendly, fast loading, again, user centric. So I mean, everything is about the customer. Everybody, everything about the user experience. And so when you design the website, it really needs to be clear and easy to navigate. No clutter. People are so distracted, and so much is being thrown at people in terms of information, and they open your website. And then if they don't see right away where they are and what it is about, then the phone rings and the child comes in the room, and then Twitter and the WhatsApp and everything, you know, comes at the same time, and then you lost them. They go somewhere else. So it just needs to be right there. And again, it also needs to be designed in a way that the user experience that they have is perfectly orchestrated behind the scenes without them even knowing that you designed the website in a way that you want them to go from A to B to this page to that, read this way, and make sure that nothing stands between them on their path to purchase or path to conversion, whatever it is, filling out the form, picking up the form. So this is the website. And I mean, we don't have much really time to speak more on about it. So I would have to just stop at this. Your website is very important, because if you have a good website, then you can throw other things on top of it and it will hold. Yeah, so basically it's just like a foundation of everything that you will do, including SEO and any kind of marketing. You have a good foundation, you can build a whatever, like a shack or the skyscraper. Foundation good is going to hold the house. So this is your website. Also, this day and age, so much stuff is also being thrown at business owners in terms of legal responsibility. This constant privacy data, GDPR for European Union citizens, ADA compliance, believe it or not, ADA, Americans with Disability Act, was passed by Bush father into law in 1990. But back in the day, nobody thought that today it would be considered, it would be also applicable to websites. And more these days, people shop online, people order things online, people do Zoom online, they do doctor appointments online. So more and more, Department of Justice, when they look at these cases that being thrown at business owners, really rules in favor of these unscrupulous lawyers who want to just really bring you down. And so basically they want this certain ADA compliance and web accessibility be there on your website. There are the huge, huge topic. And somebody needs to mute themselves. Anyways, so this is important. And if you have any questions, I can answer questions later, but web accessibility and ADA compliance now is applicable to your website as well, not just for the place of business, brick and mortar, restaurant or shop where people visit. Okay, you have a website now. When you have a good website, then you need to do a search engine optimization, because without search engine optimization, website cannot be found online. And search engine optimization, there is a whole discipline, and you can go on Google and type best search engine optimization techniques for 2023. You'll get 75 links of how to optimize your website in 2023 for search engine recognition. Of course, if you do it all the time, then you would know what is fluff and what is really reasonable from this information, but it's really necessary. Because, I suggest people don't even try to drive traffic to your website through any marketing channel until SEO is in place, because it would be like you built a illegal septic in your backyard, and then you invited the environmental health inspector to inspect it. You know, it's just like you're shooting yourself in the foot. Go on the guidelines of how a website needs to be done and how search needs to be performed. And then, of course, you drive traffic and people even go and even stay on your website, and they even buy and they pick up a phone and they fill out the form. Google sees it all. But Google also sees that it's loading slow, and it's not properly optimized, and the title text is not there, and the images are not, there is no alternative tag for images. Tons of different criteria that Google will look at. And while it will extend some rank for the, because your website is well attended and people are really spending time on it, but they will also notice that it's not optimized. So, if you do something, just do it above and beyond than the other guy, because with all equal, if somebody has as much traffic and have their website optimized, they will go on top of you in terms of search engine return pages. So when Google returns your website, it will be under somebody who went the lengths to really optimize the website. So SEO, very important. Well, how it works, let me just briefly show you simple example. I'll share my screen. How the SEO, proper SEO should work. Do you all see my screen or not?
Yes.
It's empty page.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I'll just show you the website. This is the website that we did not build, but I did the search engine optimization. It's the manufacturing client. They are basically, they are raising ducklings and goslings, and they sell one-day poultry as backyard foraging or the companions for kids. Pond beautification, so not for meat, basically, although I have nothing against eating meat. Again, so basically this is the website and I optimize them. So let's say ducks for sale. Yeah, this is the page ducks for sale. When I hover my mouse over this tab here, you see what pops up. It says ducks for sale online, buy ducks online, order the live ducklings, how to buy baby ducks online. And then blah, blah, blah. And then only at the very end of this string, it says Metzer Farms, California. Yeah. So the name of the business, basically irrelevant. It's just you waste your precious real estate in the title tag if you put your name of your website in your title tag. Because SEO is not for people who know you exist. SEO for people who don't know that you exist, and they type keyword phrases which represent what they are searching for in terms of services or products. And then if your website optimized, it should come up on the first page of Google, and that's the connection made. So you're sleeping in your bed in California and somebody in New York is already buying your glass gadget, you know, because they found you online through the search. So let's just see. It's optimized for, you know, docs for sale online, let's say. So that's how proper SEO works. I go to the Google search. I type docs for sale online. And again, it's like for sale online. Yeah. So this is the keyword phrase that somebody would look if they want to buy a doc online, basically. Docs for sale online. And so when I click this arrow, I should find the metzerfarms.com. That's as easy as this. And we go and docs for sale page at metzerfarms.com shows up right there. So this is proper SEO. You take another keyword from there and you do order live document. You go to this, you go to the new page and you do order live document. Boom. Let's see, Metzer Farm right there. So this is what I mean by proper SEO, which is done. This is how it's done. There is no rocket science. There is no voodoo. There is the characters which are being matched in the people's search box with the website optimization and the title tag. It's just one of the examples, but this is basically how it works. So basically, when we did when I worked on Chris Phillips's first website, I believe we had, this is what I did. I optimized his website. And then I created a document like this, which I'm going to take and put it in this window. This is how I know that SEO works still 10 years ago. So this is the document from February 21st, 2012. So this is the keyword phrase that I, back in 2012, plugged into google.com, search frameless glass shower door Santa Cruz. And this is just information about my browser. So this is not, you know. And so this keyword, basically, if clicked, I just need to see Chris Phillips' website on the first page of Google. You see, frameless glass shower door Santa Cruz, showcase shower door right there in the teardrops, in the addresses. And I also see him in the organic result here. And then the page. So this is the page for frameless shower doors, and this is the homepage. So this is like for the term frameless glass shower door Santa Cruz, Chris Phillips dominates first page of Google in 1, 2, 3 positions. It's also spilled over to this. I think this is also related to somehow to Chris Phillips here.
Yes, that's our new, it's our new gig here.
Okay, so you're still benefiting from the old optimization.
Sweet.
You're still showing, and then also National Glass Association. You're dominating 5 points on the first page of Google, right above National Glass Association. But I think this is your profile in the National Glass Association, isn't
what,
it?
What did you charge me for that?
Well, it would not
that was money well spent, man.
It would not be the same today, my friend, unfortunately. Anyway, so this is how it works. And then if I click on, shower doors and enclosures Santa Cruz, that's how I want to see Chris Phillips everywhere. Showcase shower doors right there. Organic showcase shower door. Okay. And then sometimes Chris Phillips' Facebook comes up, and then other, you know, industry hubs where Chris Phillips has his website. And all of this needs to be optimized as well. Not just your website, but your Facebook channel, if you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce and they have a profile page for you with the link, click back to your website, it needs to be optimized. So that's how Google sees that a lot of legitimate traffic comes to your website from legitimate sources. Okay. I think we have to just move forward because I don't think I'm going to fit in this 30 minutes, guys.
You're doing great so far. Keep going.
When we have a website, we have the SEO layer, which is absolutely necessary. And only then I suggest people start driving traffic to such a website. And when we start driving traffic, my model is to escalate marketing efforts along the most cost efficient, line of most cost efficiency. For instance, the very next and very powerful marketing channel that everybody should be using is email marketing. Because email marketing is, everything else is very volatile and subject to change. Even SEO changes when Google changes criteria, and then you need to tweak with different keyword phrases and optimize different things and change what was there before. But your email list, people who gave you their email address, is the pillar of your business. You build it over the years, and if you're not collecting emails of people who ordered from you, or you did service for, or so you sold your gadget to, you are really leaving money on the table. And this is easy to do. Basically, anybody can just go and apply for $10 MailChimp account and use their template, or hire somebody like our company. We build templates, and we can create an attractive template, and then you can reuse it all the time, just change the content. And then that's what people should do. Email marketing, these people gave you, they know that you exist. They probably did business with you. They gave you access to the most sacred place in their life, their mailbox, where they get the emails from their grandchildren and loved ones and everything. So, this is speaks for something, and we need to utilize it. And the proper email marketing, there are a lot of different ways to run email marketing in a proper way. The biggest mistake people do, they just send a newsletter to their clients and they make people read 14 paragraphs of text. Maybe they hide a link somewhere in the text to click to their website. And they believe that people will read this email. People will not. People will just scan it and just get distracted or go somewhere else. The proper email marketing, you need to build your email in a very simple way, considering how distracted people are these days. Just have two sections, three sections, big heading, big picture, two sentences why they need to really pay attention, and a big button with a call to action, and make them click and go to your website. Nobody converts in the body of the email, but there is a chance to convert them into customers on your website. So make these buttons, link these buttons from your email newsletter, link them to your contact page, to your landing page, to your form submission page. Well, let me show you. Maybe I'll show you. No way. Hold on. Sorry. So let me just show maybe a few templates. Well, it's not the industry template, let's say, but let me show you. I'll share my screen quickly. And so this is the family business. They make toffee in San Jose. So basically, you just don't need to tell them much. You just need to show the product, and you need to give them the way to pre-order. And that's it. And then you give them another section, read about our family in the whatever Herald Tribune, and you're done. Yeah, so this is, it's like you're selling the product. Just give them very simple one paragraph here, show them the product, make them buy. Another paragraph of text, picture, make them buy. Tell them where they can find you, where you have whatever, in which store that you sell your product. Just for example, and again, different industry, different design. We designed one for Chris Phillips. I couldn't find it for Glass Gadgets, but it was more technical. It had some blueprints and flow charts on it, and some Glass Gadgets like on the background. So this is what I can say about the email marketing. And email marketing, you need to email marketing. Two very important criteria when you send your newsletter, two very important criteria to look at: open rate and this click-through rate. Open rate and how many people open your email. And open rate depends on quality of your mailing list, because you can send your email to 1,000 people who are not interested in your product, and open rate will be very low. So if you have a quality subscription list, It's very good. I think when we fired up the newsletter for Chris Phillips for Glass Gadgets, I think he procured 11,000 emails from the National Glass Association or something.
Chris, yeah, probably from National Glass Association. Yeah.
Yeah, this cannot be warmer than this, you know. So this, and the open rate, of course, I'm sure was through the roof. And so open rate is important, but also open rate depends on the subject line. You'd be surprised. Subject lines are very important. If you just like join our next seminar, well, it's pretty bland, you know, but people, it's like so many emails that people receive. You just need to grab their attention. It needs to be a bit provocative. It needs to be engaging. And I mean, here, there is no rocket science. This is normal sales techniques, which people used from the like 50s when they were going door to door selling the TV sets and refrigerator. You just use in your subject lines, fear of missing out, you know, or the scarcity of the product, or put the numbers, how like 123% return on investment, things like this. And this is what catches people's eye, and they have to click, and they do click. And so open rate depends on these two things, quality of your list and of your subscribers list and your subject line, basically. And then click-through rate depends on the quality of your template. As I said, if you give them 14 paragraphs to read, your click-through rate will be very low. But if you give them really little to read and a lot to click on to go to your website, here you go. And again, even if they click through to your website and didn't do anything about it, here you go. Google already noticed that people come to your website and you're getting hits, which Google counts. So it works for you one way or another. But usually, I mean, I had a client, and we convinced her that she really needs to start sending a newsletter. And then the moment she sent the newsletter, she called me next day or a few days. She said, "Oh, I sold $400 worth of my product." Of course she did, because I mean, she offered it. And then, you know, if you don't send the newsletter, well, they will not do anything about it. So if you haven't been sending newsletters to your client list, which you had for 10 years, it's not a problem. You can just shoot out the introduction email with your picture and the link to your YouTube channel, where you can record yourself by your iPhone and post it there. For 3 minutes, you talk to your phone and tell them why you miss to talk to your clients and why you need to start talking to you, and we are this and this, and then this year we have new product. People don't care. We think, you know, we're so self-conscious. When we just come into the room, we think everybody look at us, or when we send an email, we think people will judge us harshly for not writing to them for 10 years. Nobody cares. People are so busy with their own thing.
That's true.
Yeah. So when you just send it, they just look at, oh, haven't seen this guy for 10 years. Well, oh, nice product. Done in the bag. So, I mean, we just need to just do the right thing and don't think too much. So this is basically what is done. And then when you start really sending newsletter regularly, then you will know what is the good click-through rate, what is the good open rate, what's the good click-to-open ratio, what's unsubscribe rate, what's the bounce rate. And then you start measure, and then you start to optimize. Because, I mean, if just if there is too much unsubscribe, why? Okay, you clean up your list. Then your list is cleaner, but it's warmer, not so much unsubscribe. So, and then you don't waste your energy on people who are not interested. So it benefits everybody. Well, this is email marketing. And if your email marketing is working well, and then you decide to escalate, then the next marketing channel that I recommend is Facebook ads. Facebook ads by far is still a most affordable marketing channel, paid channel. I mean, thank you, Robert, for your comment. Thank you. I'm happy if it's useful for the audience here. But this is what I do. This is what I would tell. This is what I would tell you if this was my mother. I mean, that's what I tell you if it was my mother's business, if it was my brother's business. This is what I do for my business. I mean, there is nothing to, you know, these things are, there is nothing secret about this technology. They are self-secret in a way that if you don't do them, you will never know. But if you start using this and this advice, please take it, run with it, and you will see results. And you see small results, then you'll be emboldened and you start to apply more. I mean, I think I've seen the progress with Chris Phillips when he started doing marketing. And then he just started, and then now this guy knows what's available on the market in terms of plugins and applications more than I do. I guarantee you that. Well, so let's go Facebook ads. Again, their Facebook ads is, the, as I said, it's still very affordable channel. For I never start people with more than $15, $20 per day, and you have to be able to spend this money. You have to be, you need to be willing to invest to see results, because it's the paid channel. If you don't want to invest, then you should do the organic and wait. And there are two schools of thoughts based on what I noticed. There are people who don't have money, and so they have to have time. And so they wait until organic kicks in or email marketing will start working for them. But there are people who don't have time and they are willing to spend money. And so they will see results. And also when they start, I always tell people that if you start paying money to Google or Facebook to drive traffic to your website, always work on your organic SEO. Because it's actually, if you decided to pay money and you're not optimized, this is the good time to start optimizing, because when you stop paying money to Facebook and Google, if you're not optimized, you go back on the page 17 where you came from. Because it's not the vote of confidence of your customers who organically click to your website and thus push you to the top of the Google. No, this is money. Money buys the positioning. And the moment you stop paying money, you go back and you're not on the first page anymore. Unless you spend time while paying money to Facebook and Google and driving all this traffic to optimize your website and show Google, I drive a lot of traffic to optimize website. So when you stop paying, you have a chance to first pay, because this Google Cloud and this rank will stay with you. Anyways, Facebook ads, very manageable. I mean, there are a few ways to do Facebook ads. And I mean, the primitive way that everybody probably tried is the boost post. If you are the admin of your Facebook page, after every post, there is a big button that says boost post, and you can boost it and you can put $15 and spread it for 7 days or whatever, $50 spread it for 10 days. And then there will be also some rudimentary targeting system, like it, you will be able to target certain demographics and audiences. And yes, and that's it. And the traction from this, you can get some traction, but this is not a proper way. And the results will not be through the roof. Results will not be hundreds or thousands visits to your website, compared to like 3 dozen a month, people would start seeing like 800 and 1,000 visits to their website just from the Facebook channel when they pay $20 a day. Also, since Facebook or Meta these days, they own Instagram, then whatever budget is not used during the day, it will be also allocated to show ads on Instagram. There is Instagram marketing as well, but it's much more expensive, and it's not working as good as Facebook, because the platform was not designed for commerce. It's just for lifestyle. It show off and show my how whatever, I don't know. It's also Generation Z. It's younger people who dominate there, and of course we will need to pivot. In a few years, when these people will start really owning real estate and becoming the executive officers of big companies and become the, you know, when they will push us away and out.
Then they start having money, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then we would have to consider their habits. But still today, I wouldn't worry about not marketing on Instagram, but I would invest in Facebook ads. Again, depends on the industry. Well, I ran ads for the attorney, like a personal injury attorney, and after a few months, we just realized that we get tons of traffic from people, but it's not the people, not the people who we need. Nobody who is like, nobody goes to Facebook when they're sitting on a curb with a bloody head with a broken car, when they need to call the lawyer. So for the for this kind of project, we switched immediately to Google Ads, because Google works much better. Google search, no Google display, no images, nothing. Just the keywords, because when I'm hurting, boom, 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 I type in my phone, and then I found the client. So Facebook ads, but for the industry people, for the service people, I think it's a good way still to get leads. Because even, I mean, direct to consumer, I think. B2B is a bit different, and you need to run the ads for B2B a bit differently. Or at least you need to have the target audience very well defined. And you need to know that this audience can be found on Facebook. You know, but sometimes it's more difficult. But direct to consumer, no problem. And the Facebook is so much better if you are targeting just normal people who need services and goods, because people tell Facebook much more than they tell Google even. I mean, Google knows where did you come to my website from. They know what you did on my website, which pages you frequented, where you went. They know that you filled out the form and submitted it. They know you picked up the phone if its website is properly tagged, so I can measure this thing. And that's it, you know? But then Google knows, but Facebook knows, you know, what hiking boots you bought on your family trip to Yosemite last Father's Day. So people tell Facebook everything just by posting. And Facebook has 200 plus data points, and you can mine this information. You can mine it, and you know, you need to know how to use insights, and you can find these target audiences. But you cannot use it for boost post. For this data can be used when you do proper Facebook or Meta marketing with the Meta business ad account, where you have really granular targeting system. You have the insights, amazing data that you can just see what works, what doesn't, what reach, what's how many impressions, who you reached, who did what, how many what percentage your advertisement video was played, 25%, 50%, how many people watched it to the end, how many people add your products to cart, what was the purchasing value of this add to cart. I mean, I can briefly show you. We don't have time. Chris, how are we? I just don't want to hold people too long.
We could probably start kind of bringing it in for landing. I just want to leave a few minutes just in case people have specific questions for you.
Well, I can tell you one thing, that this Facebook ads is the topic in itself. I have one, two, at least eight case studies where I can just take people through point by point and show what simple Facebook ad can do to their traffic and to their, you know, conversion value. But I don't think we have time for it now. Let me just finish and wrap it up with, when you are happy with Facebook ads, or if Facebook ads don't work for your industry, then of course Google Ads. And Google Ads is the ultimate escalation in my book. And then Google Ads are more expensive, and the clicks over the last 5 years, the clicks from, like, I don't know, for the carpet cleaning keywords for carpet cleaner were 15, 20 bucks per click. Now they can go 90 bucks per click. For personal injury attorney, the clicks can go from 300, 500 per click in sale. So, yeah. I mean, you need to be very careful how you build your campaigns, and in order to not just waste money. Google Ads, effective though, depends on the industry. You can do display ads, or you can do search ads. Also, you need to know what you're doing, because it's very easy to spend a lot of money without understanding how it works, and not know what you are doing wrong. And then, of course, with everything, whatever you do, measure and optimize. Always measure and optimize. whatever marketing channel or strategy you deploy, whatever marketing channel you use, you need to always look at the Google Analytics and see what it brings to your website and insights from Facebook ads, or if you run Google ads, it's tons of data that you can see what's going on. Always measure the results and optimize, because whatever gets measured, it gets managed.
Right.
And you know, right. And managing for success is called optimization. So you measure, you notice what's wrong, you notice what's good, you stop doing the wrong thing, you double down on the good thing, you manage. And this is the optimization, basically. You manage for success.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a saying in business that goes something like, what you measure, you get more of. You know, so it's like what you pay attention to, that's what grows, you know. Exactly. You pay attention to the mistakes, you know, that's what grows, you know. But if you pay attention to, you know, what you're doing right, and you don't.
Yeah, this is like, since we're all human beings, and whatever analysis or whatever measurement we're doing as human beings, it's also our state of mind. You know, what you focus on, this what, as Chris said, what grows. And mind is unlimited. There is nothing that you cannot think of. And so if you always focus on negative things or on shortcomings, they will always come up. So that's why I'm really positioning people to start seeing small successes, small little things for tiny dirty legs. And then you see that you're progressing toward your goal, then you get empowered. So when I train people, when I work with people, I also not just execute projects for them, I train them what they can do without being dependent on somebody like me. And also, I mean, people like to be empowered. People like to know what they're doing and learn more things. If they don't have time, of course, they delegate. But I think business owners these days, you can do a lot yourself.
Hey, Michael has a question for you. What is it, Michael?
Hey, Eugene, great job. When it comes to email marketing, so like a lot of what you just showed is you get repeat customers, whether they sell cookies or toffee or something like that. People consistently buy. We sell frameless shower doors. It's very rare that, it's not that we don't get repeat customers or referrals to other customers, but if you were going to run a marketing campaign, what would you like to, other than a newsletter, to be like, hey, look at Low Wine Glass, look what we have there, look what we can do or whatever. How do you, like, what would the target, what would you propose the target of, the topic, I guess, of the campaign would be? Because it's not like we can resell them a shower door every month.
Well, the newsletter can have a few sections. I always suggest that one section definitely needs to be pointed at selling. But then there are other sections. You can educate them. You can show them the new line of products. You don't have to push and sell. You can give them the case study. You can give them you can put the link into the testimonial of the recent client, how your this new shower glass caddy could help them to carry this big, huge piece of glass without shattering, whatever. So I would imagine that I would not just sell, because people, if they, old people get tired of being pushed product, but you educate them, you hold their hand, you show them, you interact with them like with a human being. And then everybody likes to be interacted with, not like a cash cow, but like a human person. And since they already expressed the interest, you have a right to show them stuff along this line. And then you don't sell them this shower door anymore because they got it, but they know them, they know people. They know, I mean, their nephew just came out of age and got married and bought a house. So, I mean, they will, this you keep them being loyal brand ambassador.
It is. It's because something that's on my plate that I want to handle. And whether I have like a separate list for contractors that we're consistently
definitely
informing, you know what I mean? Because they're our repeat customers, the contractors, the developers. But they're the ones that we want to consistently stay in front of, so we can show them like a shower of the month, or you know what I mean?
That's why you need to have the segmentation, audience segmentation, and you just divide this people into different audiences, and you design different newsletters for different eyeballs, and for contractors, or for, you know, like for purchasing managers for the hotels or something, like for the big project or for new construction when they're built a new casino in Las Vegas and they eat shower door. This is one kind of newsletter that you sell. And then when, but I agree with you that it should not be just sell.
So the main goal would be for the, you know, for the contractors, it's just kind of staying in front of them in a certain way. And then for the, for a general retail homeowner, kind of they buy once, you know, every time they remodel, the idea would just to kind of stay in their
sightline. You tell them the story that they like to hear. You share with them, you know, the share the true story of what, you know, rocks your boat, what you did good, what inspired you, and you just share with them. And something that is also, you need to make sure that it's relevant to them, so you need to put an angle on it. But of course, you don't tell the story to contractors because they know the story, you know. So you just need to have a content tailored for the certain audience in a different way.
Hey, okay. Bo Dobman has a question for you, Eugene.
I left it there in the chat.
I'm reading it right now. Just one second.
All right. So you talked about mining Facebook. Did you mean that we could mine it or Facebook can mine it?
No, we can mine it.
Do I go about finding out people that just searched for tile or for plumbers or plumbing supplies?
Well, not necessarily this, but like not who search for it, but there are, when you create target audience, there are different audiences that you can drill down, and it would be, for instance, there is a in market for, and so you go under category in market for, and then you look for the product, which it might not be shower door, but it could be like in market for renovation or remodeling. And then there is a people show, there is like in market for or affinity audiences, home improvement aficionado, people who like Home Depot, or people, again, I'm maybe people who like Home Depot are not the good clients. I don't know. But what I'm saying that there, when you start to create the target audience in the Facebook, there is a way for you, for us, all of us to go. If you have a proper business manager, Facebook or Meta business manager, you need to set it up, and you need to have an ad account with a credit card connected to it. And then you are able to go to insights, and then you can go start building target audiences. And then you can go into this drill down on the categories, industries, and then depends on the industry. You can just have a completely like bullseye your industry, or it's something which is relevant. And then you try, and you spend $15 per day, or run a week for $15 per day, and then you see what is the result, and then you measure and you optimize and you try the different audience. So this is what I do, because this is what I do. I don't know if people who do what you do have time to do what I do, but if you do, please do.
Thank you. I see Ryan has his hand up. What's going on, Ryan?
Not much. How you doing? I hope you can hear me okay, because I'm driving. Yes, sir, right, we now. Do.
Everything is good.
Eugene, great. Thanks, Eugene. Thanks for hosting this. I have kind of a two-part question here. One is, I've opened my business about 6 months ago. So obviously funds are a little tighter than a larger corporation. So to do this, I haven't even started my website, but I own the domain. What type of money should I expect to pay to start doing this? And can I do it in phases? That's my first question.
Well, what is how savvy you are with the different with digital assets, let's say. I mean, there are tons of different templates that you can choose from different platforms. These days, there is Squarespace, there is a Wix, there is even Square, the one which used to charge your cards on the phone. Now they are also offering templates for web design. You can become a Wix, create an account with Wix or Squarespace for free, and you will be given access to the library of 200 different free templates. You choose the template. It will not be anything special. It will be cookie cutter kind of thing, and there will be other people with the layout elements positioned like yours, but you change the different color scheme, you put your logo, you put your content. You can have a website basically for free if you, and again, all these tools, platforms, they have a lot of documentation. And so basically they're designed for people with no web development experience to put together a website, which with their templates, they're improving, and templates can be pretty, the look and feel was always good, but now they are catching up also with different functionalities, which are needed for business. You can build your website for free if you dedicate some time.
Okay, just for what I heard from you earlier, you brought a lot of stuff to light for me, like how long someone stays on the page and how the analytics report back to things like Google. So I was just kind of curious. The second part of my question is, I did reach out to a digital marketing manager about building this. And because of the SEO, she actually suggested I rebrand and rename my company now, because my company name won't show up in SEO. Does that make sense? Because when I looked at your Ducks for Sale example, the name was almost the last thing that we were searching.
What is the name of your company?
Champagne Glass and Door.
And the lady suggested that you change the name of your company because?
Because it won't show up in SEO as well as, it should. If it was more you.
Well, I mean, of course, it's. Can you please repeat champagne? What? I just remember champagne. Sorry. Champagne what?
Yeah, champagne glass and door.
Okay. Well, glass and door in the name of your business, they kind of keywords which represent your industry. You know, of course, it's good. Maybe champagne will throw some people off and you'll get some people who just like champagne. I don't know, but it doesn't matter what your name of
your
company.
If you want people who like champagne.
I feel wine sellers, right?
I don't think that the name your name of your company would prevent your website from showing up in Google, because the name of your company is basically irrelevant for what SEO is. SEO is not done for people who knows your name. SEO is right. I mean, people who found Ducklings for Sale or frameless shower door Santa Cruz, they did not know showcase shower door Chris Phillips company. People who look for web development and marketing, they don't know that my company's name is Webstream. My company name is Webstream, and the spelling even the wrong. It's not E-E-A at the end like a stream. It's I. Yeah. And don't ask me why. It's a separate story. But my Webstream design group. So the only word in the name of my company which can do anything for SEO is design. Webstream is nothing and group is nothing. Group can be anything. Webstream is not even.
So it's not a real word.
It's a new word. It doesn't matter what your company's name. What is important if it's optimized for the critical tools and services that you offer. Let me just show you quickly one thing. Look. I'll just show you one thing. This is what is important. Webstream design. Webstream.com. So this is the code I just loaded. This is my website. Yeah, but I loaded the code of my website. So this is the most important title tag which Google looks. This is the first place that Google looks to decide, should I return the website upon the searcher's query? And so this is what I want Google to read. Web development, okay. Digital marketing, SEO, Google Ads. Then these are the areas where I show up in person if need be. But also I service Chicago and New York and everywhere. It's online business. And this my name. Nobody cares. And usually Google doesn't even show in the pages this part because it cuts it at Gilroy or something. Because it's only 70 characters that I think it will show, you know.
Now
changed, but before it would cut at 70. So this is what the example of it. And then the description also important. We are web development marketing agency that specializes keyword reach, big density of keyword. My name irrelevant. I don't want people who know my name search for me in Google. They should just call me or email me. So this is a different purpose of it. Did I answer both of your questions, sir?
You did. That was perfect. And I feel a little more at ease now going forward. So I appreciate that.
I tell you, Ryan, if you really would hit the wall with finding what free platform to use for building your website, talk to Chris Phillips, because Chris would point you in the right direction, I'm sure.
Okay, that sounds great.
Platform.
All right, perfect. Thank you both. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, I used to dabble in web design before I met Eugene. I mean, I had built my own website, you know, and but then it just got to where it was just out of control, man. You just can't keep up with it, you know. And even this Facebook thing, Eugene taught me a ton about that when we were working together on that Facebook ads. And I had him working on my website, you know, for Showcase Shower Door. And I also had him working on my Shopify store for glassgadget.com. And so he was running two different campaigns. And it's like Facebook at that time, this was a while back, but Facebook at that time had just these really incredibly like powerful tools that you could use to set it up. And he tried to teach me it to me, you know, so that I would just do it myself. But it's like, it's way more than like a person can really learn to do in their spare time. I mean, it takes a guy like Eugene, who's like, this is what he does for a living. And he's in there every day, all the time, because it's just like any other powerful software. It's like you only end up getting, you know, a small percentage of the value of what you use because you're not a power user. I mean, very few people are really power users of like the software that they use, right?
Well, very generous with praise. Thank you, Chris. But I promise you that Chris knows more about web design and marketing than I know about glass shower doors. I promise.
That's true.
Anyways, I mean, I have the one like entertainment. I will show you one last snippet. This is the video ad that we ran for Showcase Shower Doors on Facebook. If it's gonna load, 1 second. Yep.
Innovative new glass card. Can you hear? Carry a single
yes.
light of
yes.
glass. The card is easily disassembled and reassembled for easy transport and storage.
And so this is the ad.
This amazing dolly is specially.
This is the paid ad.
The bottom of the glass
video
pad.
Ad. Which is connected
this
to his website.
In place, even when lifted off the ground. The Glazer Saver was developed primarily for use with frameless shower glass panels. It is compatible with 3/8 inch as well as 1/2 inch glass. The Glazer Saver allows you to transport panels while leaning at an angle, making it much easier to get through doorways.
He's such an inventor.
The Glazer Saver, Showcase Innovations. Visit our website.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, video ads, slideshow ads, very, very effective, can be very effective.
And very affordable. I mean, it's amazing. Like that blew my mind. I mean, really, the only advertising I was doing back, you know, when I was doing it was that, was just Facebook. And it's just incredible, the bang for your buck that you can get.
Well, if you do it yourself, that's only the ad spend, which is 15 to 20 bucks a day. And if you have to work with somebody like me, then there is would be, of course, execution management and consulting what to make out of this data. But I mean, it's worse for some people. And usually people after a few weeks, people are asking, can we bump the daily ad spend to 50 bucks?
Right.
Why not? If you're making more than you're spending, and so people really become empowered like this.
Yeah. And what if you can do all the work, you know, that's coming in, you know. Well, Eugene, I really appreciate your willingness to come on and do this, man. I mean, you really crammed it in there. I mean, we're going to have you come back again sometime.
My pleasure.
Maybe go more in depth than just one little area, because I know that like you can't really even hardly touch on everything in this amount of time, but really do appreciate it. Check them out. Eugene Trackett's Web Stream Design. They're awesome. And before you go, I have to ask you, looking into the future, what do you see?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you, what do you see in the future?
About what? Like what, marketing or?
Yeah, well, anything.
In the future, I mean, 10 years from now, I will retire. And I will sit on my ranch and I farm and help my wife, you know, prune tomatoes. Well, I don't know, it's just going. It's a little bit, the thing is that I also get this question, so it's so many things. What should I use? So many different channels. And I mean, there are so many things that are being developed because everybody wants the market share, but I really don't see anything which will replace this robust marketing system that I just laid out. I mean, the website will always be there. I mean, website, it's already mobile. It's already, you can check it on mobile devices. It's not it's to your top only. So, I mean, websites will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
Shopping carts, of course, use more. I mean, the pandemic taught a lot of people that, I mean, it all can change in one day. And you don't know what they're going to throw at us next. So, I mean, everybody, a lot of people changed and a lot of people warmed up to the idea to work online. Mm-hmm. And it's also benefits a lot of people because before I would have to have three meetings a week and now I can conduct them in one day on Zoom because customers and people are opened up to this idea mm-hmm. without even leaving my home. So it's optimized now. The time can be used better. In terms of business, because I'm not just a web, not just the industry, but I also a business owner. I mean, the best thing that we did, we started to build membership-based services. If you can start whatever you do, if you can build the membership-based service that you offer regularly on a monthly basis to your people, whether it's information, like Michael was saying, that do I sell, or I also educate and show them new product? Yeah, you give some value to people and then you make them pay monthly, small monthly fee for being able to come in and to read, you know, get the piece of your wisdom or show some product. I don't know how applicable is it in your industry, but I mean, for me, we do monthly updates and we do monthly security and maintenance for a lot of clients. And by just signing up 20 clients like this, technically one does not need to work, you know, on the actual project. So in terms of the industry where you have to go service things, it's also nice when you have people who you just come and you just spend 30 minutes at their home and you check what everything is working and you're done for this month and they pay $200. I don't know how it works, but I know a lot of professionals in the industries which require you to go like check your pool system, check your pH level of your jacuzzi. So there is like a person that we know, and Chris and I know, and he has the, like a whole list of the clients who he doesn't have to sign up. He doesn't have to convince. He just have to go every month or send their tech once a month. Boom, $200. You have 30 people like this. I don't know. Right. What's wrong with that?
And not wrong with that, man.
Everybody can build this this model. And so we build this because my wife researched and found this idea, because she's also with me in the business. And so she just found this way that we can actually do the maintenance on a monthly basis. And so today I don't have to worry if I sign a new client during this month, because I already, in the first week of the month, I charged all my accounts and provided all the reports. So this is what I think everybody needs to do, regardless of the industry. But in terms of industry, it will always be something. And when it will change, then this, it will become evident. So Facebook marketing wasn't evident. And when we started, we were early adopters of Facebook. When we started on the Central Coast here in California, I just contacted 34 different marketing companies and I asked them, do you offer Facebook marketing? And everybody said, oh, Facebook, oh, it's another MySpace and bullshit. Oh, no. And so, and I convinced two companies and they gave me an account and we built the first Facebook mini website inside the business page in 2013 for Hyatt Hotel in Monterey. And these people did not let us use their official logo for half a year because they didn't know which way it will go. And the reputation management for Hyatt Hotel is a big deal. So we just had to run the ads for them without even having their logo. But now everybody knows Facebook ads, and that's how I say things become evident. And so now people, you don't have to convince marketers that social media works. I don't see really anything really will be like groundbreaking, but well.
More of the same stuff.
If you do the same, but you adjust. I mean, before you do the, maybe you do more static ads, but now you do a video ad because video can work better.
All right. Well, hey, thanks again, Eugene. That's going to do it for this week's live stream. Sure to join us again next week, and have a great week, everybody. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.